West told literally 2-3 people this story. Not even Tom knows this, and he was out there with me.
The very first night we got to Death Valley, and just Tom and I set up my tent, and I was going out there for this spiritual, like, rest moment, because I was so beat up with a lot of things, with building our future home and all those kind of things, and so I just had a lot weighing on my head, and that's why I wanted to get out. It's a cheap plane ticket, let's just go out west and let's rest. First night, I get there, we set up our tents, I put my stake, you know, into the ground, and I was like, yeah, you know, I'm unrolling my sleeping bag, and I said the words of, God, what do you want to tell me out here? I really just want to be in your presence, and I swear to you, I've heard audible voices before from God, very rarely, but this is the audible voice that came out, and it was super loud to me, and I'm still kind of just whatever about it, you know, kind of like, geez. But the words were, what are you doing here? And then I was like, ah, crap, right? Like, what do you mean, what am I doing here? You know I'm here. And I got so upset. And then you guys don't realize this or don't know this, but I was sick the rest of the week with Tom. I was sick. I was sick. We didn't sleep in a tent any longer. We were in hotels every night. I was sick beyond belief. Now, that wasn't God's hand being lifted off of me, and therefore, like, I became Job. And I wasn't, like, plagued as a leper out there or something. But I was just sick. And but all of that revelation was, what are you doing out here? Why was that said to me? Because I was supposed to be here doing what I needed to do here. God, I felt like I needed a rest. God wasn't telling me to rest. I had a job to be done. All of us to say that many of us have already wished 2020 away this year. We've already made these comments to our friends of kind of like, I know if these walls could talk, you're saying in your house, I just want 2020 to be over. Adam just whispered to me there's a meteor coming towards Earth now too. I know it's going to miss us, but it's kind of like, whatever, at this moment. But that attitude, even though we're laughing in this room, is an attitude that's not great because we're literally in one of the most historical moments in modern history right now. And we can sit here and wish 2021 to come quicker, or we can actually stop and lean in and ask God, what are you doing and how can I be a part of it? Because that's the opposite of what I was doing by going out west. I was running. It wasn't like I wasn't pulling a Jonah and like, you know, I needed to get a bunch of people saved. I literally was just selfish and thought, I need a break. I deserve this break. I mean, Tom kept telling me that too. My wife kept telling me that. Like, you need a break. And I was like, yeah, I do. I got real prideful about it, right? But then it was really this moment of awakening of kind of like, but that's not what God said to do. So here I was about to unroll my sleeping bag, and I heard those words of, what are you doing here? Like, because I was trying to run from the calling on my life of what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to be here. And instead, I wasn't. So that's what I don't want us to do. I don't want us to look at all that's taking place and kind of dismiss it and go, 2020, go away. How about right now we are in a moment that we can do something. God is doing something. And I want us to focus in on that. So, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In the book of Genesis, in chapter 11, there's so many good stories in Genesis, but in Genesis chapter 11, there's the story of the Tower of Babel. Now, there's something we can, many of us may remember it from Sunday school lessons, and all you know is that that's where all the languages were founded, because God came down and he looked at the tower and he was like, yeah, some people think he was just being mean. And being like, nah, let's just jumble it all up. And that's what happened. But actually what took place was the wrong motive. See, these group of individuals were like, hey, we're awesome. Let's become famous. Let's make a name for ourselves. Let's do what we want to do. So they built this tower, this significant tower to basically say, look at us. We're awesome. Now God comes down and he sees it and he actually makes a comment. He says, hey, look at what they can do when they're unified. Look what they can do. Nothing can stop them. That's what he says. You talk about a beautiful picture of what God shows as being possible, but if done the right way. Unfortunately, they were doing it in the name of themselves and not in the name above all names. So what does he do? He jumbles up the languages. No, this is not how it's supposed to work. This is not going to be the way they're going to do these things. So God has a plan, and that's to bring Jesus. Jesus is the name above all names. And so he puts in perspective of what we can do and what we should be doing if we put Jesus first. So in Philippians, as I just read in chapter 2, knowing how we're supposed to act and the example that Jesus gives us, our example is to follow after him, and that's to love people, to be unified, to be a servant to one another, to seek after their cause and what's happening in their lives, to be brothers and sisters in all that we do, and to be unified by that, not to allow separation or division or allow pride or allow this ambition of I'm right and you're wrong. This is not a matter of that. It's a matter of saying, hey, are you okay? Can I help you? Can I be there for you? And unfortunately, we've kind of lost some of that. Not some of it, a lot of it. My friend, and you guys, we've had him come to our church before, Reverend Tony Cook. Reverend Tony Cook, he just posted this, and I really loved it because he's gone through this whole study of history of the church, and he came across some of these great theologians, and John Wesley, he brings out a lot of what John Wesley had to say, and you know, a lot of people were thinking that John Wesley was making these statements as if the Holy Spirit is dead, or the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are no longer in existence, but actually what Tony's discovery was that, what John Wesley was saying was that people were dead, that people were actually dead, and they weren't living in the fullness of the truth of what the Holy Spirit was trying to bring out. It wasn't a matter of saying, yeah, the Holy Spirit's dead, so there's been like this misinterpretation of no longer are the gifts in action. But actually, no, the gifts were fully available and ready to be received and ready to be in operation. But unfortunately, what took place was this dead body. We were dead. We were dead because of selfish pride, selfish ambition. We had this notion that it was all about me. And we were lost. I have been a little disturbed as a pastor with like this thought of, and I'm not correcting anyone in this room right here, and nor am I trying to correct anyone that's at home right now. But I've heard the sayings of like, man, I like church in my house. I'm like, hold on, I'm out. It's never been about this. It's always been about God. God is why we come to church. Not, we don't come to church for the religious notion of things. That's the deadness talking. I was with some folks not too long ago, and they made this comment of like, man, I'm not looking forward to church being back. I really like waking up and just doing this in my living room. I think, what? Like, really? And I know some of you are like, you're just biased because you're a pastor and you want people here in the church. It's like, no. But I know what it means to gather together in His name. I know what that means. And I know I'm preaching to the choir right now, literally, because you guys are like here right now with masks on and with the thought of, is it safe to be here? You know, I know that's lingering around you. But I'm saying all this because I don't want us to be spiritually dead. I don't want us to be full of pride and selfish ambition. I don't want us to get into this lost thought that God unifies us. God unifies the body, and He brings us to a completion. That's what he's trying to do. He sees us for not who we are in this moment, but what we are becoming and who we are in the sense of like, of that heavenly bound person that you don't know who that is right now, but God's showing you. And as you are clearing the way of the muck and the nasty stuff in your life, you're like, oh yeah, that's old me. Yeah, because I don't know about you guys, but I'm so glad that Josh of 2019's gone, that Josh of 2020 is here. Like, because I'm progressively moving forward in my relationship with Jesus. And that's something I'm excited about. And everyone in this room should be as well. I'm saying all this to say the thought of, yeah, church. And this new church thought of, this is how I'm going to have church. No, it's never been about how you're going to have church. It's your relationship with God. Like, so when I'm hearing people say the thought of like, man, I love church now. I'm at home. Like, no, it's not the organization of church. It's not, oh yeah, I did it. I'm gonna sound like I'm gonna bash another religion denomination. And I'm not, but I am. So I'm sorry, but I am. I was a college pastor back in the day at Marshall University. This will help you all, because I know you think I'm like a space cadet right now because I'm everywhere, but this is going to help you. I remember being in a room full of college pastors. They brought us all in a room because they wanted us to debate, in a sense, and talk about our organizations. And so I was in this room, and I remember there was a panel of students, and they were asking us questions. And one of the panels asked the Catholic Newman Center on campus. They said, so you have Mass on Saturdays and you also have Mass on Thursdays? And they're like, yeah, we do Mass on Thursday and Saturday. So the student goes, so I could be on Thursday and that counts as my Mass. And I was like, what do you mean that counts as your Mass? Yeah, and so I even asked the question. I was like, so you mean like you get a sticker for your chore chart? Like, I got my sticker, I'm good to go. Because that's not what church is about. It wasn't about that. It was actually church, the organization, was set up out of Acts chapter 2 into Acts chapter 4, where the body came together and they served one another. So I see Pete I don't get to see Pete Borden throughout the week, okay? But this is my opportunity when I come into church to worship God, but to see Pete for the first time and go, Pete, what's up? And then the Holy Spirit is like, hey, there's something going on, right? Hey, check on Pete. All right, I'm gonna check on Pete. And I get to serve him. I get to minister to him. And then throughout the week, I go, yeah, man, I need to check on Pete. I'm gonna call Pete. I'm going to see what I could do for him. Oh, Pete, I mean, I didn't know this was going on. Hey, can we meet for lunch or coffee? By the way, there's nothing wrong with Pete that I'm aware of. But I just want everybody to realize that was the beautiful part about Acts chapter 4, is to bring us together to worship the name above all names, the unification of what God had discovered out of the Tower of Babel, and to say, yo, you guys can do something. And to check on us, to check on those moments that we're hurting, or those weak moments where we're sitting there and we're kind of lost, and we're trying to discover what God's doing. And it's nice to be in one place at one time to achieve that. It was never a matter of, oh, God, we got new church. Let's just sit at home. Guys, I'll be frank. I liked it. I liked it. Why? Because I didn't have to restudy my message on Saturday night. I didn't have to wake up at 5:30, 5:45, or 6 in the morning to come here and do this. All I had to do was just show up and Jeremy would press play. Hey, everybody. Now, don't get me wrong. I hated doing these videos. I hate it because I sound stupid. Like, there's a moment. I can't even remember what I said 5 minutes ago right now. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? But on video, it's like there. And I remember Jeremy would be like, you want to do that over? What, was it bad? Right? I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to be real honest. But I also like the fact of waking up. I'd go on a run with Rich. Rich and Clayton and I would go run on Sunday morning. And then I would come home and I would fix waffles and pancakes. And then we'd bring all the kids down to the couch and be like, now you worship, right? We did that. But that's not what church was about. And it's not what church is going to be. Church was for us to come together and be unified. The next thing. I told you it's a mind dump. Luke. In Luke chapter 10, there's this expert in religious law. And he was basically trying to justify himself. So he was asking, you know, how do I get to heaven? And Jesus was like, you tell me. How do you think? And he says, well, according to the law of Moses, you know, love God above all things and love thy neighbor. And then God was like, or then Jesus was like, yeah, that's good. And then the guy obviously was kind of like, but who's my neighbor? Because he was trying to justify. Meaning like he was picky and choosy of who his neighbor was. You know, like, what do you, like everybody's my neighbor. Or like literally my neighbor. Jesus is kind of like, oh, okay, I know what you're trying to do. So let me tell you a story about the Good Samaritan. So you guys, the Samaritan, you got this guy, okay, it's a Jewish man. He was traveling from Jerusalem down into Jericho. And so in traveling down Jericho, he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes. They did all that stuff. He's laying on the side, half dead. And up comes this religious leader, walks around him, doesn't even want to be near him. Another religious individual walks around him. Again, this perspective of these religious leaders walking around someone who was hurting because they have their own notion of kind of like, oh, you should have just done this. You should have done that. And they just walk around. And finally, then the Good Samaritan. Now, many of you know this story, but just real quickly, the Good Samaritan tends to his needs, picks him up, sets him on his donkey, and then all of a sudden takes him to a neighboring town where there's an inn, sets him up in the inn, makes sure he's okay, pays for it, and then says, hey, to the innkeeper, if there's any more charge, the next time I come through, I'll take care of him. Talk about handing your credit card over, saying whatever the cost, I want to take care of this person. So this leads me to this. Guys, I am flabbergasted by all of this that's taking place. Flabbergasted not in the way of shock, but in the emotional category of things. When I was years back, when the Black Lives Matter started, the movement, when I first heard it, immediately I turned into a child where my mom would come in a room and go, who did this? Did you do this? No, not me. Not me. I didn't do this. I didn't do this. Immediately, I thought, Black Lives Matter. All lives matter. I was confused. I didn't understand what the thought was. Because immediately I turned into a child and I thought, Black Lives Matter. Hold on, I didn't do it. What are you talking about? And immediately I got into this notion that it was about me. And this was that selfish pride moment of like, it's not about me. Okay? And that's the thought that many of you are having, and we need to stop this. This thought of my life matters. The Samaritan wasn't walking around going, my life matters. That's what the religious folk were saying. I don't want to be seen with this person. I don't want to help this person. Wow, that's going to take a lot of work to fix. I don't even want to waste my time. And they keep moving. Whereas the Samaritan stops and says, whoa, it's not about me. You're hurting. Let me help. And this idea that this thought, well, let's combat against this. And even with the individuals, Black people are not saying, and they're not putting themselves above the circumstance of Black Lives Matter more. That's just this childish notion and the way the enemy, Satan, tries to come in and divide and separate. Because you immediately want to fill in the blank of Black Lives Matter more. No, that's not what they're saying. They're saying Black Lives Matter because we're overlooking this. And we need to wake up to the cause at hand. There was a pastor who walked in Florida at at a protest, thank you. And he's walking this protest, and he posts a photo about it, and someone in the comment section puts, where were you during abortion? Again, abortion's important, all right? Hugely important. But again, this is like, and by the way, it was a white person. And that white notion was kind of like, are you just blind right now? That yes, abortion's still there, but right now at the forefront of all of this is that we need to be aware of that Black Lives Matter and that this has got to stop. That this is not about that moment. Yes, that's important. But this is what's happening now. This is 2020. And what is God doing and how can we be a part of it? How do we bring unification to this? How do we bring awareness to this? And by no means does the minority of what's happening with these protests, the minority side is the voice of the majority. This notion of violence, that is not what they want. This is not what people are saying. Yeah, we need violence too. But there is an outcry that we have got to listen to of what's happening right now. What's causing this moment? Because we've been overlooking things for far too long. And we as the church have the answer, and that's Jesus. Why? Because it's the name above all names. And when we do it in His name first, then we will succeed. If we don't do it in the name of Jesus, then we are aimlessly walking and things will continue to go astray. And we have the answer. We cannot be the church that walks around the hurting with the answer. We have the answer. And it's sad. And so I'm standing here as your pastor, fearfully scared that I'm saying the wrong words and that someone will want to try to misinterpret it. Or I knew what he was really meaning. I'm going to tell you now, and Christian will back me up because I love her with all my heart, and she knows this. I called her immediately and was like, let's talk. Educate me on what I need to say so that I am doing what's right. Guys, we have got to humble ourselves before the Lord and self-examine to say, God, what can I do and how can I do it with effectiveness in your name? God, how can I be the bridge? How can we be the church? Because we can no longer continue to act foolish. We cannot act as if, well, I didn't know, and then just sit on our hands when we do know. If you guys want revival, then here's the thing. You must allow the scriptures to be the scriptures in your life. You need to expose your whole life to Jesus Christ. You need to expose your life in prayer. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? Expose? This is back to the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve being naked before God and saying, God, here I am, and strip your selfish ambitions and all of this emotion and anger and say, God, put me in my place. What can I do in this moment right now? You've got to expose yourself to the scriptures. That's hard and it hurts. It is not easy. Well, those scriptures aren't talking about me. Oh, yeah, they are. I need to think about this. You got to start exposing your heart in obedience. You need to expose it by confession and by restitution. Restitution is not a word you hear too often anymore, but it's all throughout the Bible. This is a moment of making things right. Boy, that's tough. That's really tough. Making things right, even though you don't want to, because that person has an attitude about you and your thought of like, it's about me? No, it doesn't matter. It's restitution. We're going to make things right. And it's not just sitting here in the square and yelling out with a megaphone. It's actually actions. Here's my credit card. Whatever it takes, whatever it costs, I will do it. That's why in Philippians, when Paul is writing this letter, he says Jesus came and died with obedience. And he didn't even have to, but he did it on the cross for all of us. He became a servant. He paid the ultimate price and said, hey, do what I do. So guys, my encouragement to you is I want revival out of this. I want revival to come from this. And I really got to say, if there's ever a time that I could actually really truly see a revival that's not a pre-planned tent revival out in the field, with a real true revival of people's hearts being centered in on the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I know the answer that can solve these things that we have, the fear, the doubt, the uncertainty, is all going to be from Jesus. It's a repentance to say, hey, it's not about me. How can I serve the one who's saying they're hurting? I have children. And when I hear them say they're hurting, I don't just ignore them and be like, tough it up. I look at them and go, what's wrong? What's hurting? And they show me and I go, all right, how do we tend to it? And I pray for them. That's my encouragement to you this morning. I don't have all the right words, but I know that when Peter addresses the crowd in Acts chapter 2, and he's quoting the prophet of Joel, and he says, and this is verse 17, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike. No more division, no more separation. And they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Every one of us. Jesus gives this great picture of serving one another by washing the disciples' feet in John chapter 13. It's a beautiful picture. And he's presenting them this moment of revival. He's like, hey, Here's how you break bread. We're going to break bread and be unified. He even sends Judas out of the room before that even happens because he realizes you're not in a line with what God's doing. You need to go do what you got to do. Out he goes. He breaks bread, communion. He has communion. He washes his disciples' feet. He's preparing them for this great moment. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit so that we can be vessels stripped of self-ambition and self, just every self. And he prepares these vessels to receive the gift that presents revival, that brings in miracles, signs, and wonders, that gives you the ability to look at people when they're hurting and say, how can I help? Versus saying, hey, suck it up. How stupid is that? I'm so sorry. There's so many kids in this room right now. And I've said a few words I can't I'm sorry. But it's the truth right now. Every one of you in this room, wake up. Put a mirror in front of yourself and ask that question. Because in my message that I videotape, there's no condemnation, no separation in Christ Jesus. So it's not for us to continue to try to separate by race or by class or by wants or desires or by the thought of they're not like me, so I don't want to be near them. That's what's so beautiful about the body of Christ is that we're all unique. And we need to wake up to this. We need to wake up that God has called us out to such a time as this to do something and to not sit on our hands at our house, close our eyes, and say, I just wish 2021 would come. And all this will be over. And we can go back to the way things were. No, this is a wake-up call for us to realize, God, you're doing something. I want to be a part of it. Put me in, coach. Put me in. I want to know what's happening. I want to do this. I want to be a part of it. My last thing, Micah 6:8. Jewish people are all in an array. They're everywhere. They are everywhere mentally, physically. They're everywhere. They're dead. They're like the epitome of dead. And so the prophet Micah delivering this word, and the Jewish people are kind of like, what do we do? Do we need to like sacrifice a lot? Do we need to do this a lot? Do we need to sacrifice our firstborn? And God says, no. No, and he says it here in verse 8, no, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Ask yourself this week, am I doing what is right? Am I loving mercifully? And am I walking humbly with God? Am I doing that? Examine yourself this week. I don't have all the answers, but I have Jesus. And that's what I want you to take home today. If you don't know who Jesus is and you're in this room, it's time to receive him as your Lord and personal Savior. And for some of you in this room, it's time to strip off all these things and say, God, you can take it. Lay all this down at his feet. How can you serve? How can you show love? How can you be love? Be more action-oriented versus, hey, let me type this out on social media and then just let it go. I did my piece. I did my little thing. Everyone knows where I'm at. No, action, call to action. There's a call to action, okay? My last thing, gosh, do you guys are in Acts. It was one of the coolest stories. And I love it, and hopefully I can find it quickly, which I've never been really good at finding things quickly like this, but I'm going to do it. It's when Philip comes upon the eunuch, and in that moment, he comes across the eunuch, and the eunuch's reading the scriptures, and he doesn't just walk by, oh, that's good, he's reading his Bible. No, he stops, and he actually says, hey, you may help you out? You may help you show you what's going on over here? Like what the scriptures say? Let me point this out to you, right? And so sure enough, he encourages him and he says, hey, and then the guy is like, hey, there's a body of water. You want to get baptized? Points to the body of water. Yeah, let's do it. And he says, okay, yeah, let's do it. Let's walk over here and let's do it. I can't find it, but whatever. And, 8:26. Right, 8. I was one more page from going. I gave up. See, don't give up, people. Philip. Yeah, there it is. 8. Verse 4. And he looks at, or you're right. Verse 26. And he sees you and he says to him, hey, there's a body of water. You want to get baptized? Yeah, let's do it. And he does what he's supposed to do. There was action. Versus it's easy for us to see someone reading the scriptures and to be like, oh, they've got it. They're good. And we just walk past. No, stop. You get it? Yeah, you want to talk about it? Let's talk about the scriptures. They're so good. Talk about it. Never been baptized? Let's get baptized. Let's do this thing. It's action. It's easy for us to just point and say, good luck. Being a part of something. For some of you in this room, the white folk in this room, I'm letting you know you need to be a part of this right now. Not sit on your hands and act like, no, it's not about me. It is about you. It's all about you. Every one of us in this room has a responsibility right now. You also have a responsibility as a Christian. As a Christian, our brothers and sisters in Christ, they need you. We need them. So just stop with this selfish thought. It's pride. Stop. I'm done. We have to clean this place. Some of you in this room, you just want to know how close we are to this warehouse. We're a few months out, okay? We're praying. All the subcontractors, they do it. So we have our own home. We can do what we need to do. But guys, we're there as a church. We are a beacon of hope for people. And we need to be ready. Do you know how many folks are going to come to our new home when we open it because they're going to be curious? All the subcontractors over there, I work with all these guys day in and day out. Arturo, he's our masonry brick guy. Him and his wife, Olga, they don't even speak English very well. And they said, this is our new church. And I go, but I don't speak Spanish. And they go, doesn't matter. It's our new church. We come here when you open. And I was like, sweet, right? But I don't want them to come with their racist mindset in this place of telling them they need to speak English. Because that's the notion that's got to break. Because that's stupid. You get what I'm saying? We've got to be ready for that. We need to be ready for these moments to love people. To show love and to be love. But I don't want us to foolishly go into a place and then not be prepared in the way God has it. For us to be prepared. So self-examine right now. The words you've been saying in your house, put a mirror in front of you and see if you can continue to say those words.